Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Any subject that's taught in the Bible is deserving of our consideration and our knowledge. Especially is this true regarding the leadership of the church. We want to study this particular lesson for the benefit of those who serve, for the congregation, that it may know what to expect from the eldership and their duties, and for the benefit of those who will someday become elders in the Lord's church. Preparation for leadership has been sorely neglected and is often reflected in inadequate and incompetent leadership. The younger men need to know how to qualify themselves for the work. Now, the eldership is composed of men who serve as elders over a local congregation. Christ is the head of the church, but other than He, there is no universal organization or governmental structure before one reaches the level of the local church revealed in the Bible. There are to be elders in every church, Acts 14:23. Each elder is on an equality with every other elder. There is to be no chief elder over the others. Each time the Scripture refers to the elders, it is always in terms of a plurality, more than one, over the single congregation. Even when there were apostles who were members of the local church in Jerusalem, the church had elders. Those who serve were to be men of certain qualifications, which we shall investigate in another study. These few general statements about the elders and their position in the government of the church introduces us to the more detailed matters we wish to consider. The Scriptures refer to the leaders of the local congregation by several terms. We have already used the term elder. They are called this in Acts 20 and verse 17. They are also identified as bishops, Titus 1 and verse 7, or overseers, Acts 20 and verse 28. They are called pastors in Ephesians 4:11, shepherds, having the oversight of the flock, 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. The eldership is called a presbytery, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14. Now these terms can scripturally be used interchangeably. Their difference lies in the way each term emphasizes a certain portion of the responsibility to that work. As we briefly noted earlier in this lesson, there must be a plurality of elders over one congregation. Christ did not ordain a one-man rule for His local churches. They act as a team, not individually. And while some religious groups have one bishop, so-called, over several congregations, the Lord's government calls for several bishops over one congregation. The duties and authority of elders must be discussed together. They simply cannot be separated. Where there is authority, there is power. And where there is power, there is duty and responsibility. The greater the authority, the greater the responsibility. To understand the duties of elders, one must understand the relationship between the eldership and the congregation that they serve. Congregations sometimes experience disasters because the eldership either does not know or will not do or possibly is not allowed to do the work that God has given the eldership to conduct. In Acts 20 and verse 28, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood." Again, in 1 Peter, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." In Hebrews 13 and 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And later in that same chapter, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Now there are both positive and negative instructions given to elders. They are to serve, not of constraint. This means they are not to assume the task reluctantly, or just because nobody else would undertake it. They must do so willingly, because of the opportunity to serve, and not because of how they might be profited materially. Not for filthy lucre. The elders were often supported by the congregation they served. But the motive for elders to serve was not to be the financial or material support that they might receive. Neither is being lords over God's heritage. An elder is not to assume that he has powers which he does not have. He is not to be a dictator, some kind of tyrant over his brethren. He is not a boss with the church as his servants. He is not a feudal lord. To have the arrogant, bossy, "you obey me" attitude is unbecoming an elder in the Lord's church. Elders, along with their fellow elders, are to take heed unto themselves. He who would save a drowning man must first have good footing himself. To pluck the mote from thy brother's eye certainly means you must remove the beam from your own eye. Individually, and as a group, the elders must continually monitor their activities, their attitudes, and their words. Their lives must be kept in order. They must examine one another and assure each other and the flock that they are doing what God expects elders to do. Sometimes elders get way out of line and have to be dealt with for the good of the flock. Not only must they take heed of themselves, but take heed for the flock. This requires giving the members of the congregation where they serve their attention and their watch care. To tend the flock means that there must be concern for each sheep. A good shepherd knows his sheep. He leads his sheep to food and drink. He protects his sheep from outside harm. And this requires convicting the gainsayer, Titus 1 and verse 9. Ravening wolves, false teachers, may come among the flock, and it is the duty of elders to see to it that their mouths are stopped and they are marked as false teachers. He cannot shift his responsibility to somebody else, even though he may seek and secure the assistance of others in carrying out his duties. As a shepherd over the sheep, in similar fashion the elder is over the local church to do for the church what a shepherd does for his sheep. For instance, feed the church. Nothing is more important than the sheep be fed, and that which must be provided is the Word of God. Elders are responsible to see to it that the Word of God is taught in its fullness, its simplicity, both positive and negative qualities. Too often, some elders would try to suppress portions of the gospel in order to pacify some of the sheep. But elders must see that a proper, balanced diet is provided. They are not only to be teachers and able to teach, it is their responsibility what is taught. They do not have to do all the teaching personally, but the job is theirs to see that the Word of God is preached and taught among the flock. They are to take the oversight of the affairs of the local church. In all the activities of the church, that's under the observation and supervision of the elders. Like the matter of teaching, they're not expected to do all the work. This they cannot do because each one has his or her own work to do. But the elders are to determine the needs, see that the needs are met, exercise the superintendence over all of the affairs to the congregation. Whatever is done must, of course, be the work of the church, and it must be done as efficiently and effectively as humanly possible. The power of making decisions for the local congregation's activities is their power and their duty, and they shall be answerable to God and to the brethren. Elders do have the power to rule. Now, there be some who would like to deny this power to elderships. They would prefer the preacher rule everything, or confine the rule of the eldership to nothing more than ruling by example. But the duty of exercising oversight demands the power to rule, and the congregation has the need to obey that rule. Their rule is in the area of taking care of the church, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 5. There are limitations, of course, over the rule of elderships. They have no power to make, to alter, to tamper with, or otherwise change the doctrine of Christ, which the church is to uphold and proclaim. Why, that's already been decided by the Lord. It is their duty to see to it that it is preached in its purity. They are not lawmakers concerning the doctrine of Christ, but they are to exercise their collective judgment in handling the affairs of the local church, making the necessary decisions that must be made to conduct a congregation. Their power falls in the realm of preferences, expediences, and which way is the better way of doing things wherein they have the right to make decisions. Their decisions will seldom be pleasing to everyone, but everyone is to abide by their decisions. This is not to be confused with lording it over the flock, but it is to recognize that their work requires the power to carry it out. And this power they have. It is in this realm that many elders falter because they developed an attitude that they must have their own way in everything to the disregard of other elders and the congregation. But this would be an abuse of power, not the proper use of power. An elder is to be an example in his personal life, an example that's worthy of imitation. Their words, their attitudes, their dress, their general manner of conduct, their faithfulness and knowledge, interest are all to be something for the congregation to behold and see the spiritual values of living for Christ. But he must at all times remember that he is a member of the congregation of brethren like the others. And while the elders must have certain specific qualifications, which we're going to study in another lesson, they are qualifications they have to have before they assume this task, and they have specific duties, but they're also Christians just like others. We'll study this further, and we hope that you'll be listening. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.